You're listening to the Liberty News Radio Network, and this is the Political Cesspool. The Political Cesspool, known across the South and worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program, and here to guide you through the murky waters of the political cesspool is your host, James Edwards.
Welcome back to the show, ladies and gentlemen. It's the second hour of tonight's live broadcast of the Political Cesspool radio program. I'm your host, James Edwards, on the road again tonight, as you can undoubtedly tell by my audio. But Keith Alexander's back home in Memphis, and Keith, we have Ben from Georgia, one of our listeners who called in during the commercial break, and he has a question for you. Ben, take it away. Well, I take that back. Ben, I guess, got tired of waiting for the commercials to end. So, anyway, we'll wait for Ben to call back, and hopefully he will. Keith, what's on your mind this segment?
Well, two things. Trump's vice presidential pick, Mike Pence, and the Supreme Court decision back in late June in Abigail Fisher versus Texas, which I think has been overlooked with all the other breaking news stories that have a little more panache, a little more sex appeal, a little more violence, blood and gore and whatnot. But as far as the effect on white people in America generally, nothing's more important than the fact that the Supreme Court has ratified the continuation of anti-white, invidious racial discrimination in the form of affirmative action. So you tell me which one to jump on first, and let's go for it.
Here's what we're going to do. Let's talk about Pence. And while you're talking about Pence, I'm going to ask our producer to reconnect to me via the remote equipment that we were using rather than my cell phone. So I'm going to hang up, Keith, and let you hold court. But talk to the audience about why you think increases Trump's chances at getting impeached.
Right. If you want to know why I'm fearful of a Mike Pence vice presidency, I've got one word for you. Watergate. Now, what does Watergate have to do with Mike Pence? Well, when you break it down, I think it has everything to do with it. Look at what happened in Watergate. Richard Nixon, a Republican presidential candidate who won a second term with the largest electoral landslide in presidential history up to that point, 49 states to one against George McGovern, obviously the king of the hill. But the left flexed its muscles, basically due to its control of the media, and said, we're going to show you little people that we can prevent your choice from being the effective president of the United States. We can have your choice removed from office. And that's exactly what they did. They use the Watergate break-in, which quite frankly doesn't hold a candle in terms of criminality to what Hillary Clinton has done regarding her email server. The United States security was never at risk at Watergate, but it is based on Hillary Clinton's lawlessness and refusal to abide by the law regarding top secret government information. But here's what happened in Watergate. They wanted to remove Richard Nixon, and they did it by impeachment. Basically, Donald Trump is setting himself up to an impeachment scenario, particularly by appointing a mainstream favorite, somebody that the rats, Republicans against Trump, can live with, and so can the Democrats in Mike Pence. Mike Pence has been a big supporter of every free trade deal that has decimated the blue-collar middle class of America, particularly in the Rust Belt, over the past 20 years. Furthermore, he is at odds with a lot of conservatives on abortion issues, things like this. He's been all over the map. He is not only a neoconservative, he's a cuckservative. Let's go back, turn the page back to Watergate again. When Richard Nixon was being set up by the leftist media in Watergate, they had a problem. His vice president was Spiro Agnew, who, if anything, was stronger medicine than Richard Nixon. In fact, he was a lot stronger medicine. Remember, he was making these provocative comments like the nattering nabobs of negativism to describe the mainstream media. Well, they got rid of him quickly with a corruption scandal. They've got a dossier on everybody, and they probably got one on Trump, or they're busily building one. What they intend to do is, if Trump does get elected, if he wins the nomination, which seems a certainty now, and gets elected in November, which is still a up-in-the-air question, they will take him out the same way that they took out Richard Nixon through the impeachment process.
And Keith, if I could, I think I'm back here at full strength now, or at least as full of strength as I'm going to be with broadcasting remotely tonight and out of the studio. But it's interesting you mentioned Watergate. Richard Nixon got impeached for scrubbing 30 seconds of audio from those tapes. Hillary Clinton scrubbed thousands of confidential and top secret emails and nothing. But you're right. If Trump had made – he already defeated all of these people. So why give them an olive branch and put some generic cuck-servative like Mike Pence? Mike Pence is pro-immigration, pro-trade in terms of anti-American trade. He was for the Iraq War. He's for civility in politics. He's soft on the Muslims. Basically, he agrees with Hillary Clinton at least as much as he agrees with Donald Trump. Trump already routed the neocons. He already routed the cucks. Why offer them an olive branch and give them a reason to consider what you're laying out right now, Keith? If he had selected someone, now we would say, yes, someone like Pat Buchanan, but realistically, he could have selected Jeff Sessions, no problem. Jeff Sessions is a sitting United States senator. He could have selected Sessions, and that would have been absolutely appropriate. Jeff Sessions would make a great vice president. Jeff Sessions would make a great president. But instead of giving them no reason to go after him because Sessions would ascend to the Oval Office, he's given them an excellent reason. It just doesn't make sense. I'm still 100% behind Trump, but this was not a good decision.
He's setting himself up, actually, by doing this, because
and I wonder why he has to
go through the Spiro Agnew exercise of getting rid of the vice president. They've got a ready-made, hand-picked, gold-plated, conservative, neoconservative candidate waiting in the wings. What they will do is, when Trump tries to deliver on his campaign promise to build the wall, Congress will block him. Between the rats and the Democrats, they will block him. And then he will act unilaterally, like Obama has done so many times, by an executive order, or by his plenary powers to enforce the border. And he can say, it's my conclusion that building this wall is the best way to discharge my duty to protect the borders of the United States. And then the media will come down in high dudgeon. This is a grievous violation of separation of powers. It's unconstitutional. It's impeachable. The Democrats will be on board. The rats, the Republicans against Trump, will be on board. They'll get rid of him, and then they'll put in that candidate that is, their dream come true, Mike Pence, as the new president, and the populist nationalist insurgency will have been derailed. That's what their plan is, I'm afraid.
Liberty is not free. Its costs are innumerable. Without monetary funding, the valiant efforts of freedom-loving Americans become diminished or outright defeated. We present a solution, the Give Me Liberty Fund. The plan is quite simple. Invite individual Americans to contribute less than a dollar a day. These monetary funds are used to promote liberty-minded media, organizations, events, candidates, movements, and speakers. In the spirit of transparency, all expenditures are published. Patriotic business owners provide discounted products and services to Give Me Liberty Fund members. Our greatest strength is in numbers. Go to GiveMeLibertyFund.com and become part of the solution today. GiveMeLibertyFund.com. Participate in the peaceful restoration of the greatest and freest country in the world.
Hello, everyone. James Edwards here. Are you sick and tired of liberals and race hustlers and the media calling you a racist just because you oppose Obama's policies? Well, my friend, those days are over. After you read Racism Schmacism, you'll never again fear being called the R word. I invite you to discover why every conservative in America needs a copy of my explosive new book. Racism Schmacism has received much critical acclaim and will equip you with the key to unlock their socio-political nuclear bomb once and for all. Order your copy today by visiting the official website of the Political Cesspool radio program, thepoliticalcesspool.org. Proceeds of each sale go to help keeping our award-winning show on the air, and they make great gifts for your conservative friend or family member. Buy Racism Schmacism today at www.thepoliticalcesspool.org.
Attention Liberty News Radio listeners. Hard-hitting talk radio has never been and never will be supported by the mainstream in America. Hard-hitting talk radio is taking on the mainstream press like never before. News the networks refuse to use is one of the best ways to educate people. We invite all liberty-loving Americans to join with us to restore the principles of our founding fathers and promote God, family, and country in the media and our lives. Please help spread the Liberty message with your generous donation. You can go online at libertynewsradio.com right now and make a donation online. Or call 801-756-9133 and make a donation over the phone. That's libertynewsradio.com and 801-756-9133. Make a donation today.
Get on the show and speak with James and the gang, call us toll free at 1-866-986-6397. And now back to tonight's show.
We gotta keep searching. Well, I'd vote for Del Shannon for vice president, I can tell you that much. But welcome back, everybody. Our producer out in Utah, bless his heart, has earned his money tonight. I'm at a hotel tonight, and for a nice hotel, I've never been to a place with a worse internet connection. I have to be connected to the internet via the studio in order to use my remote broadcasting equipment, and I think I've been bounced about six times, which is why I'm oscillating between my cell phone and this slightly better connection, neither of it studio quality, but we do the best we can. Keith, you were talking about Mike Pence. Again, Trump should have – look, we're not going to dwell on the one mistake, but it was a pretty big mistake. I want to let you have a parting shot on that, and of course, we're still behind Trump 100%, but this does open him up for concerns that he shouldn't have to be thinking about. But see, Trump is a man who hasn't said yes to any of these ridiculous people, and I don't understand now why – after he's completely routed them, he would be willing to let himself be handled unless he thinks that this is a good decision. But he's had such great instincts so far this campaign, I can't see how he could.
Well, Ann Coulter wrote a very prescient piece about it about a week ago. She predicted that his vice presidential pick would be his first big mistake. What he's doing now is he's setting a trap for himself. Why did he do it? I think the reason he did it was Paul Manafort, who took over for Corey Lewandowski. He is basically tasked with bringing Trump back onto the reservation and having him behave like a typical Republican candidate. And this is what the
yeah, but Trump's not a guy to take bad advice. I'm wondering why he's taking the bad advice all
well,
of a sudden.
Well, I've got a theory about that. When you get right down to it, Trump is cheap. He wants all of this financial support. The idea of having to delve into his personal bank account to pay for his campaign is an anathema to him. So he's doing what apparently he's been told he needs to do in order to raise money from the usual suspects in the usual donor class for Republican candidates. And, of course, it's the same donor class that sends money to the Democratic Party is Jews on the left coast and the east coast who bundle money. he's got to play ball according to their terms. He has to put one of them into the co-pilot seat, just like Ronald Reagan was pressured into nominating or selecting George H.W. Bush as his running mate. Imagine what a different America we would live in today if Ronald Reagan had chosen Pat Buchanan in 1980 to be his running mate rather than George H.W. Bush. We wouldn't be in the Middle East wars. We would not have presided over the deindustrialization of America. We would have had terrorists. We would have had a prosperous, healthy working class and blue-collar middle class in America. We'd be an entirely different world. We wouldn't be having Muslim terrorists coming over here trying to kill us because we wouldn't have been over there killing them. This is the most incredible. You know, just think of what happens, the domino effect of a sellout like this, and it's not a knowing sellout. It's just that Trump is confronting the reality of if I don't get other people with big checkbooks to support my campaign, I'm going to have to do it myself. So he has, you know, they found his Achilles heel.
That's as logical a case as I can think of, and that very well may be the answer, nothing more, nothing less. He says party loyalty. That probably had something to do with it, too. Well, anyway, listen, we're not in the tank for anybody. We're behind Trump for so many reasons. We've been laying those reasons out for over a year now on this broadcast. We're still behind him. This was a bad choice, so we're not going to give him a pass on it, but we're still supportive, and we just hope that he's able to survive this choice if he should be elected. But, Keith, I know you have to go after this segment, so we only have a couple of minutes remaining, and I want to give you the time that you'd like to break down this case. And, Ben, by the way, we've had some callers, and the lines are open if you want to get back on. We haven't been able to take any calls yet, but they have been calling in. But, Keith, break down this Supreme Court case that you think is important for the audience to know about.
Well, a putting shot on Pence and Trump.
Sure.
You know, this is what happens. You know, they found his Achilles heel. They have manipulated it. They've got him set up for a Watergate-like takedown. Hopefully it doesn't happen. But I hope the reason it doesn't happen is because when all is said and done, more will be said than done, and he doesn't actually do what is necessary. I think he thinks he can do things like jawbone the Chinese into cutting us a better trade deal. As they say on The Sopranos, forget about it. You're going to have to impose tariffs on them, and you're also going to have to insist that they accept our goods for import to China, or else we're not going to accept their goods for import over here. And I don't know if he's going to be strong enough to do that. We'll see if there is a renaissance of American manufacturing as promised. Now, getting back to the Fisher versus Texas case, basically, affirmative action is alive and well and will survive for yet another period of time. Whites will be discriminated against invidiously. I have a personal stake in this. I graduated from high school in 1969, the year that Richard Nixon basically gave the green light to affirmative action, to the EEOC, which was the enforcement arm of the 1964 Civil Rights Act. Now, I am 65 years old, so my entire employment career has suffered, has been under the baleful shadow of affirmative action. I know that I was a victim of affirmative action because I worked in the registrar's office of my college, and I know that black students got into Vanderbilt Law School, where I had applied, had incredibly lesser qualifications academically than I did. And I was shut out. They got in. One in particular has been a candidate for mayor of Memphis. He's gone from one feckless government job to another. He's kind of like Uncle Remus without the wit, warmth, and wisdom. And he has proved himself totally incapable of earning a living outside the public sector. Now, that person, as I see it, basically had my career. If I had had his credentials, I'd probably be a multimillionaire now. Now, you know, people can speculate about this and people can nitpick it, but I am exhibit one as to what happens to normal white people that don't have connections. My father was an electrician. he wasn't a high flyer like the Trump children or the Bush children or the Clinton children, so that I could get a pass on affirmative action. This is what happens to young white people trying to get ahead in the world, trying to climb the ladder. Basically, you're going to be kicked down to the foot of the ladder because of affirmative action. Why this isn't a bigger point with us, I don't know. Trump has offered no relief on affirmative action. This is something that needs to change, or else we are going to be thrust to the back of the bus in society, and unfairly, because if we just had a meritocracy, we'd be fine. We'd have plenty of good positions. Now, there wouldn't be a lot of black people going to Harvard and Yale, but you know what? That's only fair. They said that was because of segregation and racial prejudice. When you look at SAT, LSAT scores, standardized test scores, and job performance and academic performance, basically what was described as prejudice and discrimination is just fairness. That's where they sift out to if you fairly apply objective standards to admission.
I don't have a problem with the most qualified applicant getting the scholarship, the most qualified candidate getting the position or the job. If that happens, we're going to be okay. Keith, I know you have an engagement in a few minutes in Memphis that you've got to get to. There is a caller on the line that's been waiting for about 30 minutes to ask you a question. If you could stay through the commercial break for just another minute or two on the flip side, we'll let him get that, and we appreciate his patience. Stay tuned, everybody.
Glad to do it.
Protecting your liberties. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
With news this hour from LibertyNewsDaily.com, I'm William Grigg. The new Black Panther Party has announced plans to conduct street demonstrations in Cleveland during the Republican convention, and that its members will carry firearms in self-defense if this is legal in Ohio. They would be joined by several other groups, including those supportive of incipient Republican presidential nominee Donald Trump, who have also said they would be carrying firearms during demonstrations. If Ohio is an open state to carry, we will exercise our Second Amendment rights because there are other groups threatening to be there that are threatening to do harm to us, explains Hashim Nzinga, chairman of the new Black Panther Party. If the state allows us to bear arms, the Panthers and the others who can legally bear arms will bear arms. Ohio is an open carry state, and officials have said that it is legal for demonstrators outside the convention to carry weapons. In an apparent reaction to what proved to be an unsubstantiated rumor of a nationwide day of rage scheduled for July 15th, the U.S. Army issued an advisory to all military personnel to avoid 37 cities supposedly targeted for anti-police riots. The All-Con Notice, a term that means all concerned, directed commanders to pass along the notice to all troops under their command who may be visiting any of the 37 listed cities. Use this as a list of places not to be on Friday the 15th, continued the advisory. Army spokesman Lieutenant Colonel Jason Shropshire told the Washington Times that the advisory was to provide situational awareness for all Army personnel within the U.S. Northern Command area who may find themselves in the vicinity of any protests. At this time, we do not have information regarding any specific threats to military personnel. For the news the networks refuse to use, turn to LibertyNewsDaily.com. For LibertyNewsDaily.com, I'm William Grigg.
Each week, the political cesspool, known worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program, hits the airwaves to bring you the other side of the news and to report on events which are vital to your welfare but are hushed up or distorted by the mainstream media. However, to continue doing this, we need your support. Go online at www.thepoliticalcesspool.org and make a safe and secure donation. If you prefer not to make an online donation, you can send us a check or money order to the address on the website. No matter which way you choose, The Political Cesspool needs your support. Go online to www.thepoliticalcesspool.org and make a donation today. It's time to jump back into the political cesspool. To be part of the show and have your voice heard around the world, call us at 1-866-986-6397.
Okay, everybody, we're going to take a quick question for Keith Alexander, and then I'm going to spend a few minutes one-on-one with you, and then we're going to get to our featured guest of the night in the third hour. Ben in Georgia, fire away.
How are you today?
We're good.
That's good. Well, I heard you talking about the rally in Memphis last year, and I'd just like to say that it was a great honor to meet you both at that rally. I was in attendance there, and it was truly amazing to see our people come out in such a way for such a worthy cause. But I have a statement and a question. One is I've been listening to your show for quite a while, and I've never heard a true Southerner speak in such ill light of vegetables as you. That really took me by surprise. The first time I heard that, I know the vast majority of Southerners take great pride in their gardens. So that was
well, we are tough. Agrarian. We're an agrarian people, but I don't know what happened on that one.
Yeah, me. Well, you.
They didn't have Pizza Hut and McDonald's back.
yeah. Fortunately, they did not. But I would just like to get Keith's opinion on the situation unfolding in Turkey. I know he's in a hurry, so I want to make my question short, but if I could just get him to speak on that for a couple minutes, I'd sure appreciate it.
Keith, any knowledge of the military coup last night? I've read the headlines, but haven't dug much deeper than that. Apparently the military coup was thwarted. So what do you have any thoughts or comments on that, Keith?
I do. It shows why you don't need to let Turkey into the European Union or have some type of camel's nose into the tent in Europe. They're a typical third world Arab Muslim nation. They are unstable. They have to be ruled dictatorially or they're not ruled at all. We haven't heard about any coups in any European nations in a long time, okay? Europe has outgrown that. Europe does not need a non-European nation being aligned with them. We don't need to be that closely aligned with them. Basically, if we'd had Pat Buchanan rather than George H.W. Bush as the vice president for Ronald Reagan and he rather than George H.W. Bush to become president in 1988, we wouldn't be involved in any of this. We would have gone on a typically different, totally different trajectory than what we have been on. And we wouldn't be dealing with a flood of refugees. I guarantee you Pat Buchanan would never have allowed that. There would have been a Pat Buchanan clone coming in as the next president after him, the Republican president, and we would have returned to sanity. That's why it's something like Mike Pence's vice presidential pick is so disappointing because that guy is business as usual. He makes Jeb Bush look like, Pat Buchanan, basically.
I knew you were going to say that. You're searching for a comparison.
He is such a conservative and such a neoconservative that, I mean, he makes you wince when you hear him talk. And he's been extremely critical of Donald Trump. Why Trump would allow himself to be talked into this, I guess that's the power of money, but it's just incredible.
All right. All right, Keith, well, that's a very good answer. Ben, thank you for your call, and thank you for coming all the way from Georgia last year to our event here in Memphis. I do remember meeting you because I think you traveled the farthest to be there, and it's good to talk to you again a year later. So, Keith, on with your night, my friend, and the show will continue on.
Yeah, give me a call when you get off tonight. I want to find out about your peregrinations, boy.
Okay, you got it. I'll give you a call. All right, so where were we? You know, one thing Keith said earlier about America would lead the way, I'm not so sure. I'm not even sure America's a real nation anymore. There is, of course, and that was a great answer by Keith on Turkey, by the way, and why they shouldn't be allowed into the EU or even known as part of Europe. It's sad because, of course, we used to have Constantinople and we lost that little piece of real estate. But There are a lot of great things happening in Europe. Of course, Brexit, which I wanted to celebrate all month, has been shoved to the side a little bit because of what's happened in Dallas and in Nice, France since then. But there are a lot of great things going on in Europe. In addition to Brexit, you've got Russia and Putin, who we've, of course, appreciated for a few years now, many years. And you have nationalist government in Hungary with Viktor Orban. You have Austria, which may elect the first outright, full-blown, hardcore nationalist in a generation or two, if that election, which was recalled basically because of vote fraud, and the nationalist candidate in Austria lost by a fingernail. Now they have overturned the election results. They're going to let him run again, which is great for us. It's great. So there are a lot of good things happening in Europe. There is a nationalist revival and a nationalist awakening in Europe that I think far supersedes what's going on here. There is the beginning of one, thanks to Trump, but Trump is, again, still a little more implicit than some of the guys over there in Europe that are making waves. And I think with what happened in France, it's just only going to further the cause of the Le Pens and some of the other nationalist forces over there. We'll see what happens here. Well, first we got to get Trump elected, or we know it's going to go bad. But I'll tell you, everybody's talking about it, and it continues to this day, and we remain a part of the story. I put up to the website yesterday a little behind-the-scenes information. A nationally known writer for the New York Times, Nick Confessor, reached out to me recently in hopes of getting me to agree to serve as one of the subjects on a featured piece on Donald Trump. I posted his email to thepoliticalcesspool.org. Now, this is a very well-known writer. And, of course, the New York Times is the publication of record, along with the Washington Post, for not just America, but really the world. But I've been doing this a long time, and you know my position on the media. And in addition to my policy of not doing anything other than a live, uncut radio or television interview, I've had experience with the New York Times before. In 2007, when John McCain was running against Obama, 2008, the New York Times reached out to me for an interview. They covered us and they attacked us for going to the Trump rally with press credentials a couple of months back. And anyway, but I agreed to do an interview with them in 2007, 2008. They sent a reporter down to Memphis, spent 2 days with this guy. They followed us around. 2 days, going to be a featured piece in the New York Times. They took pictures. They had a photo crew. Went to our radio station, took pictures of me, the whole nine yards. Well, as is often the case, if they don't just smear you and take you out of context, leave most of the interview on the cutting room floor, they don't use it at all. They didn't use this one at all. They spent 2 days with me. They wanted me to be the voice of European Americans weighing in on the race before America was poised to elect its first black president. I did the interview, thought I did a great job. The piece comes out. I'm not in it at all. They found some white guy in prison who was a legitimate, I don't know if he was a skinhead or a legit neo-Nazi. Some guy in prison was, I believe, who they used in the final piece. So anyway, for that reason and many others, I turned down this interview request. But the interview did, in fact, or rather not the interview, but the piece that I was scheduled to be featured in, and they were going to again send down a crew and take pictures and do all of this. I recommended they do it for Jared Taylor. Jared likes to talk to these people a lot more than I do. And Jared was, in fact, featured in this piece. I pulled a few excerpts from it that I think are interesting, so you can go check that out. It was yesterday's featured piece at thepoliticalcesspool.org. Pat Buchanan and Jared Taylor agreed to be interviewed in this piece. Donald Trump and yours truly declined to be interviewed in this piece. But as far as it goes, the overall, and they did still mention the political cesspool in passing, of course, although not a direct quote from me because I wouldn't give it. Overall, this piece is slightly less rancid than most, but it still implies the lie that white people are evil for wanting to protect and advance our unique group interests, while, of course, every other racial ethnic group is righteous when they engage in the exact same behavior. So at this point, taking 30 minutes or an hour out of my busy day to talk to somebody on the phone is a bridge too far. Spending a day traveling around with them to either be taken wildly out of context or not used at all is just something that I don't have time for. But we're at the tip of the spear when it comes to European-American advocacy, ladies and gentlemen, thanks to you. And you can count on the political cesspool remaining a fixture in the news for the remainder of this election cycle and on into the future, so long as your support endures with the biggest mouthpieces for the regime, such as the New York Times, Washington Post, Wall Street Journal, and Time, spitting their filthy venom at us. I'm glad to lead it and live it. We'll be back with more right after this.
Let's hang on and come back to the political cesspool right after these messages here on the Liberty News Radio Network.
Scott Bradley here. Most Americans are painfully aware that the nation is on the wrong track and in dire straits. Unfortunately, most political pundits only nibble around the edges when they claim to address the issues. Even worse, many of the so-called solutions are simply rewarmed servings of what got us into the mess we currently face. And the politicians think we're so gullible and naive that we'll buy their lies that they have reformed and now understand where they led us astray. Unfortunately, the truth of the matter is that they simply wish to continue to hold power. The solution to America's challenges is found in returning to the timeless principles found in the United States Constitution. My book and lecture series will reawaken in Americans an understanding and love of the principles which made this nation the freest, most prosperous, happiest, and most respected nation on earth. Visit topreservethenation.com and order my book and lectures to begin the restoration of this great nation.
Attention Liberty News Radio listeners. Hard-hitting talk radio has never been and never will be supported by the mainstream in America. Hard-hitting talk radio is taking on the mainstream press like never before. News the networks refuse to use is one of the best ways to educate people. We invite all liberty-loving Americans to join with us to restore the principles of our founding fathers and promote God, family, and country in the media and our lives. Please help spread the Liberty message with your generous donation. You can go online at libertynewsradio.com right now and make a donation online. Or call 801-756-9133 and make a donation over the phone. That's libertynewsradio.com and 801-756-9133. Make a donation today.
If you're at all like me, you have a tough time remembering appointments and events. But ladies and gentlemen, I have the answer. It's a premier service on the internet called Memo to Me. It's free. You ought to try it. Now I never miss the honey-do items from my wife or the important business meetings. They have strict privacy protection. That means they will release your email address to no one ever. You will not get spam because of Memo to Me. Unmatched dependability. Ladies and gentlemen, these folks have been around since 1998, and they are absolutely up online all the time to send you your reminders and appointments. They have rock-solid reliability. They have 5 redundant internet connections, diesel-powered generators backing up the system. I'm telling you, Memo to Me is the premier reminder service on the internet. It's free. You ought to give it a try. And, oh, by the way, if you're not available at your computer to get your email reminders, they can even send a reminder to your cell phone or pager. I use MemoToMe.com daily and highly recommend it to you. MemoToMe.com. Memo to Me.
Welcome back. To get on the show, call us on James's Dime at 1-866-986-6397.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, a one-on-one segment, just me and you, the host and the audience. And when we come back at the top of the next hour, the third and final hour, David Duke, former Louisiana representative David Duke, a household name to be sure. He's thinking about running for Congress again, and I'm going to ask him if he's going to take the plunge. We'll find out what he says together. He will be our guest for the entire third hour tonight,
David Duke, we may even open up the phone lines and take a couple of calls for him. We'll see how it goes. But first, just a personal note. A few days ago, I sent out a personal letter to those who financially contributed $100 or more to this radio program during the month of June. And I now wanted to share some of the contents of that message with my audience at large. As I wrote to those particularly generous donors, the British vote to leave the European Union, Brexit, has shaken up the world and proven that nationalism is ascendant, that it will be the future of the West, I feel. Of course, we've been advocating for these heartfelt and natural positions on the radio for years, long before they became fashionable again. In fact, I'm sure that together we've played a part in changing the public discourse. Right-wing podcasts are ubiquitous now, and the hosts of many of these most influential shows often tell me that the political cesspool inspired them to take action. You got to remember, back in 2004, when we first took the AM airwaves, there was no other radio program on AM, FM, internet, podcast, nothing. We were it. And it's encouraging to see that so many people are coming to these venues, and even more supremely rewarding to know that we, this show, my co-hosts, our audience, were the ones who blazed a trail by doing it first and by doing it the longest. This broadcast, if I do say so myself, is original. It's legendary. It continues to make a profound impact thanks to you, ladies and gentlemen. And as you know, in recent months, the establishment has invested tens of millions of dollars worth of media to attack me, to defame, libel, and slander the good work that this show provides. This is because they too know that we're players in the fight to reclaim America's destiny. The stakes are high, and we're in the middle of it. We've consistently received this media attention throughout our 11-year run. But this year, as you know, the attacks have been relentless. But it's not in vain. We're reaching the hearts and minds of our people, and we continue to be a catalyst in changing things for the better. Those who recently donated at levels to trigger our gift incentive were given a video of the speech that I delivered at the 2016 American Renaissance Conference. For those of you who didn't, we will repost that speech onto the website next week. It is available on YouTube. It has already generated thousands of views, many positive comments. I hope that when you watch it, either again or for the first time, you may be able to draw some inspiration and encouragement from it. I must say again, though, and this comes from the heart, folks, as everything that we do does, it's a tremendous blessing to have you in our corner. Frankly, I find it difficult to find the words to properly articulate just how much you mean to me and to my staff. So let me just tell you that it is you and the men and women like you that we're fighting for every time we saddle up here on the airwaves. And if I could add this also, thank you for the outpouring of correspondence that we receive every day via email, snail mail, postcards from all over the world.
Now, I just did that, folks, to make sure you were staying awake on me over there. But I was thanking you, of course, for the outpouring of correspondence that we received and the many different methods by which it's delivered. Believe me when I say that I always take the time to read absolutely everything that comes into the show. And even though time doesn't always allow me to respond to everyone, it is always an honor and a privilege to hear from the members of my listening audience. Please continue to share with me your cares and concerns. They are important. And as I said, you really can measure the value of the work that we're doing, not just by the friends that we have, but also by the enemies that we have. And if you just look back to this year alone at the outlets, virtually, if not literally, every major American media outlet has come down on us this year. And I think that we have set an example for our people to follow by never apologizing, for doubling down, for being resolute in our convictions, for having the wherewithal and the stamina to endure it. We continue because you give us the means to do so. And you're talking about a radio program here. Because we tell the truth, we can't attract commercial sponsors. Everything that we do, we are competing with the entire media apparatus. When you're talking about Washington Post, Time, New York Times, all of these major newspapers and magazines, Newsweek, television programs, other radio shows, all lining up to take a swipe at it. Think about the overall budget that all of these outlets and venues have when put together versus the amount of money we're able to raise each year. Now, our quarterly fundraising drives are our lifeblood. We send out for a year, hence the name quarterly. And I think certainly we raise more from our audience. Just the general audience gives more to this show probably than they do those other outlets. But, of course, that's not how they make their money. They make their money through corporate sponsorships and deals, and you're talking about millions of dollars. Millions of dollars. Put together, hundreds of millions, if not billions of dollars. And they're attacking a show that probably on a year doesn't bring in enough to pay one of their personal aides a salary. But with that, and I'm not demeaning that, that is everything to us. With that money that is so vital, we stretch every cent to the fullest, and we are able, with just really a minuscule amount of money when compared to the opposition, we are able to stand toe-to-toe with them and make them take notice. Is it myself? Is it Keith? Is it Eddie? Is it Winston? No, it's you. We are your proxy, and we are out there doing battle against the biggest because we have broken through that glass ceiling, this radio network, this program, through years of dedication, just relentless, almost obsessive zeal. And here we are, and we are players, and we are, I think, serving as a voice to come full circle in the public discourse that has now made our ideas in many ways in circles trendy again, and certainly almost powerful in Europe. Some of the things, the heartfelt and legitimate, natural and healthy concerns that we've advocated for all of these years, over a decade, are now becoming the ideas and issues that are leading political parties and candidates to power in Europe and may elect the next president of the United States. And they have tried very, very hard to link us to Donald Trump and vice versa. For better or worse, this is the way it is. I've never talked to Donald Trump. We got credentialed to go to that event because we should have. We're a legitimate radio show. There's no reason for us not to be there. And we went there, and the media didn't like that at all because they only want degenerates and liars to be able to offer commentary. Well, because of you, ladies and gentlemen, European Americans, the dispossessed majority, whatever you want to refer to our people as, the right wing, we have a voice in the mainstream. And from that example that we've set together, we have all of this stuff happening online. Many of these shows came because we were there first. And anyway, I say all that to say this. When you donate to this show, when you support this program, it is we're able to do things with that that may not be seen immediately. And I don't think that money could be spent better anywhere else if you're looking to make a difference. And as I always say, we don't ask you to do anything that we're not willing to do ourselves. I contribute to this radio program every month. I'm not just talking about with my time, energy, and efforts. I'm talking about I financially contribute to this radio program because I can't in good conscience ask you to do that if I'm not willing to do it too. And in addition to donating to the show every month, I donate twice during the fundraising drives. Well, anyway, ladies and gentlemen, that is a long and almost beleaguered thanks and offer of my appreciation to you. But as I say, so many times we've been so busy with so much going on, we didn't get a chance to do the roll call of all of the cities from all of the states and all of the countries from which our support rolled in during the month of June. There's just been too much going on. The minutes on this program are so precious and valuable. So I wanted to sort of, I guess, in a way, at the end of our last fundraising drive, which ended in June, now give it to you from my heart with when I had a little time. Well, anyway, we're going to take a break. When we come back, the one and only David Duke. Tell your friends. Tune in. He's with us for the entire third hour. Stay tuned.
But don't go away. There's more to come right here on the Liberty News Radio Network. We'll be right back.